Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on your public access channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We have but two things we want you to do. Come and study God's Word with us and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To have an open mind and examine the things that we teach and we practice. If we can help you in any way in your spiritual walk with God, please do not hesitate to call upon us. For the last few months, we've been looking at the subject, why we're members of the Lord's Church. Today, I'm a member of the Lord's Church because it is scriptural in its organization, because I can find that organization in God's Word. Denominations are ruled by their own forms of government. They have ignored the head of the church, who is Christ, as we studied last week in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and they've assumed the right of their own government or self-government. Yet they claim allegiance to Christ, but in vain, according to Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, because they teach in doctrine the commandments of men. Yet in practice, they cling to a more democratic form of government than the one that the Lord established. Where's the authority in the scripture for synods, for presbyteries, for councils, for general assemblies, for conferences, for worldwide agencies? Where do you read about those things in the Bible? You don't. Those are all organizations that have been designed and been organized by men and not by God. Was the power to legislate ever given to a group of uninspired men? Never. Can they decide how many times we take the Lord's Supper? Many do. Some take it once a month, some take it twice a month, some take it once a quarter, some take it bi-monthly, some take it twice a year. But you see, they don't have the power to do that. Why? Because the Word of God read to say that that's to be done every first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7. Can they change the mode of baptism from being a burial to being a covering to being an immersion to being a complete covering over water to being a sprinkling or a pouring? Can they do that? No, they can't do that. Why? Because it violates the scripture. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says it's a burial. Colossians 2, verse 11 through 13 says it's a burial. And if I'm going to follow Bible baptism, then I'm going to be immersed or submerged in water. I'm going to be completely covered because that's the meaning of the word and that's the practice that we find in the scripture. To set aside any condition in the plan of salvation is to change the plan. Can they change anything in divine order? Anyone who assumes to change any directive given by the Lord through His Word is rebelling against God and against His Son. That's what John said in 2 John 9 through 11. And he said, if you do so, you lose fellowship with the Father and the Son. And so the legislative power only resides in one person, and that is in Christ. A rejection of the supreme authority of Christ is the outgrowth of modification. What happens when we alter one precept or command of the Lord? It leads to further changes. Then we must change the laws. What? To make sure that they accord with the new laws that we've established. This places human authority above divine authority. In Isaiah 55, the Bible says that God does not think or act like us. His thoughts and His ways are higher and more nobler than ours. But it says in verse 11 that His word will accomplish the thing which He sent it forth to do. We don't write a new plan. We don't write new rules. We don't write new regulations. We just follow the ones that are in the scripture. And so, denominations are ruled by their self-governments, but that is not the organization we find in the church. The church is a monarchy. What do I mean by that? Christ is a monarchy. Christ's church is a monarchy. He is the supreme head. He has preeminence in all things, Colossians 1:18. All things have been put under His feet, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. God told us at His transfiguration to hear Him, not to hear anyone else, just to hear Him. All authority has been given to Him in heaven and earth. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28:18. It's not to be abolished to the end of time. At the end of time, he will give the kingdom back to his Father, and then he will turn the authority back over to the one that delegated to him. He'll give it back to the Father. Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit to his apostles so that they could be guided into all truth. He would teach them all things. He would bring all things to the remembrance, and he would guide them into all truth. Read John 14:26, chapter 15:26-27, and chapter 16:13. Teaching would be sanctioned in heaven. It would be rooted and grounded in heaven, Matthew 16:19. Christ never delegated his authority to any other than his apostles. He never delegated any authority to any other group of men, to any other type of organization. Those organizations are figments of men's imagination, and it's their teaching. They are not the organization that you find in the Bible. The church is autonomous. The autonomy of the church. We are discussing the local rule of each congregation, the right of self-government, the self-government state, the independent state. Each church is independent from all other churches. No tyranny of one church over another church. This is the mother church concept. The Church of Rome had no authority over the church in Jerusalem. It was to carry on its own work, manage its own affairs, have their own treasury. No system of church government larger or smaller than the local church. It doesn't get any bigger, it doesn't get any smaller. All congregations had the same head, that was Christ, taught the same gospel, had the same foundation, Jesus Christ, the same mission, to seek and save the lost, to constitute, consist of one body, Ephesians 4:4. But each one is independent how they carry out that work. They're independent, but they're only independent in how they carry out the work. But the guidelines, the plans, and the organization that they have, that they all have the same, because they must follow the pattern in the scriptures. What is the organization of the Church of the Bible? What kind of organization does it have? First of all, we've already discussed Christ is the head of every church. He is the spiritual head of all the churches. So there's only one head, and that's Christ. And then you have elders. Elders are overseers. They are managers. They are caretakers. They manage the things that belong to the Lord. The Holy Spirit taught that elders, bishops, overseers, pastors, and shepherds are appointed by every church, as we can read in Acts 14:23. In Acts 20:17, there were elders in the church. In Acts 20:28, they were declared to be bishops, often referred to as pastors in Ephesians 4:11. The plurality of elders or bishops, not a plurality of churches, over one bishop. You have one set of elders over the one church. You don't have one eldership over many churches. That's unbiblical. That's unscriptural. What is the duty of the bishops? They are to take heed, according to Acts 20:28, of themselves and to the flock. They are to feed the church with spiritual food, Acts 20:28. They are to help and support the weak, Acts 20:35. They are to exhort in sound doctrine. That means they are to teach the truth. They are to be able, they should be able to convict the gainsayer, Titus 1:9. They have to admonish the disorderly. They have to encourage the faith-hearted. They have to be long-suffering towards all, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Willingness to take oversight according to the will of God. Not lording it over the flock. Not being that type of leader. In samples to the flock, 1 Peter 5:1-3. They're to visit the sick, James 5:14, to care about the welfare of their members. And they are to watch over for the spiritual need, that is the welfare of their souls. Those are elders, and they have oversight. And those elders have qualifications that they must meet in order to be an elder. You can't just be appointed an elder because you've been a member of the church for a long time. You have to be qualified. Those qualifications are given in 1 Timothy 3:1-7 and Titus 1:6-9. They have to be without reproach. The husband of one wife must desire the office, must be temperate, must be sober-minded, must be orderly, must be given to hospitality, must be apt to teach, no brawler, no striker, not contentious, no lover of money, ruleth his own house well. He's not a novice, he's not a new convert, good testimony from without, having believing children, not self-willed, not soon angry, lover of good, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word. Those are the qualifications of elders. And any that would take to that office in the organization of the Lord's church have to meet those qualifications. They don't grow into them. They don't have the majority of them. They must have all of them in order to be appointed to that office. The congregation is commanded to know them. They are commanded to esteem them highly in love, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12-13. They are counted worthy of double honor if they work in the word as well as in the oversight as elders. They are to be obeyed. We are to submit to their oversight according to Hebrews 13:17. And we're not to receive an accusation against an elder unless we have two or three witnesses. And so elders are overseers. They are presbyters. And they are over the Lord's church. They change nothing. They have no authority to do that. They are just caretakers. And then you have deacons who are helpers and servants to the elders. Acts 6, 1-6. The word deacon is sometimes translated servant. Some say the work of elders is spiritual. The deacons are physical. That's not a hard, fast rule, but many times it's true. But if you read 1 Timothy 3, 8-12, they have qualifications that they must meet too. Many of them are the same, but there are some that are different. And then you have preachers or evangelists. They also have a special work. This position also has no authority. I can't change one thing that God's word said because I'm a preacher. I can't change it because I'm an evangelist. I don't have that kind of authority. What is my work? 2 Timothy 4, 2-5, Acts 20, 26 and 27. Tell me what my work is. It is to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. I'm to reprove, I'm to rebuke, I'm to exhort with all long-suffering. I'm to preach what they need, not what they want. I'm to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm to be watchful of their souls and watchful of their spiritual growth. I'm to endure affliction. I'm to study and grow as I should, though I can help them and help myself. And lastly, I've got to do the work of evangelist. I've got to do the work that God gave me to do as an evangelist. Members of the church here cannot do the work that God gave me to do. That's my responsibility. That's my duty. Church organization is not very difficult. It is very simple. The divine pattern has been greatly abused by men today. Every attempt to improve this simple plan has resulted in apostasy and condemnation. If the church you're attending has more than these things, it's less than the things, notwithstanding men who are not yet qualified for the office of elder, it is not the Lord's church. This is another reason for me being a member of the Lord's church, because it is organized in the scriptural way. What is the organization of the church? Christ is its head, elders are overseers, and deacons are servants, and evangelists preaches the word, and there are members. That's the extent of the organization of the Lord's church. It is no larger than the local church, and it is no smaller than the local church. Each of them have distinct values and rules, and each follow the same prescription given in Scripture. And so let me ask you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of organization do you belong to? Do you have an organization that you can find in the body? Or do you have offices that you could not find in the body, like secretaries and treasurers and presidents and vice presidents and treasury department? Where are those things in the scripture? If you belong to such a church, you are belonging to a church that was created by men and have a man-made organization. Why not come and check out the Lord's church and the divine organization that he gave us a pattern for in his word? Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.